Paul Tonko of the New York's 20th District, and my friend, I may say, I hope.
Absolutely.
I have to say that I know, by reputation every other way, you are Mr. Environment. You did it in the state legislature when you were there. You've done it in the Congress when you're there. I think you have reason to be depressed right now.
Well, it's not an encouraging thing that we see happening in Washington. And, you know, I think when you take environment, you can easily attach that as a policy area to that of energy and economic development. I think the three go hand in hand in hand. And the number of things that are troublesome, you know, the president being very harsh in his budget presentation to Congress, calling for a 31% cut to the EPA, which translates to a 20% cut in staffing. You know, this is an agency that has been charged by Nixon-era Clean Air Acts that were developed. The Clean Air Act during a Republican presidency is put there into EPA for its stewardship. And Clean Water Act, going back to 1976, all of these issues to make certain the air we breathe is cleaner, the water we drink is safe, the soils that we require are remediated. All of this rests with EPA, and he's offered this draconian cut, which is historic in nature and totally grossly insensitive to the agenda, all while he appointed the new administrator, Mr. Pruitt, out of Oklahoma, who was at the time suing the agency.
So it's a been very portrayed as a climate denier.
Oh yeah, and he is, I think, according to all the documents that we've seen. So this is very troublesome. And then, you know, I had met just months ago with about 13 to 14 nations of the European Union, and one of their first questions was, "Where is the giant?" Meaning, where is the U.S. when it comes to climate change? And I said, well, unfortunately, while some of you are ready to go forward, while a number of nations are ratifying the accord, the Paris Accord, the agreement that President Obama brought to the table, the entire world community came to the table to speak about climate change and the future of our environment. While all that's being talked about, the president decides, you know, well, we don't know if it's human inspired and all that. And, you know, he's calling it a Chinese hoax to make money.
Yeah.
So here we are, you know, being the country that led the dialogue, led the discussion, and now we're withdrawing. And the only other two nations are Nicaragua and Syria. And Nicaragua, because it's not strong enough. So we're basically there standing with Syria saying, we're not going to do this. You know, the complaint was always, well, if you do this, you're putting yourself at competitive disadvantage with the other nations, the largest economies in the world. They're all at the table saying, we're going to greatly increase the amount of money we put into research to clean up our air and reach these lofty goals that are set out there into 2030, 2040. And so now this is a scar, first and foremost, on our image. But beyond that, you know, while you're at that table, you're going to be discussing research and where you invest that research, which could easily happen in this country if we're at the table, that's where you're going to manufacture the eventual prototype that turns into the product. So I think it's a loss of climate economy jobs, clean energy economy jobs that we're never going to see because of this. Now, there's a long process. This is the announcement. It takes a while. There's a very defined and structured process that a nation goes through.
Yeah.
So, and it's also a function of time. So it may take a while to achieve this, but immediately the image for us is one of cluelessness, of harshness, of inconsideration. We have got to be the stewards of our environment. And this whole notion that if you are concerned about the environment, if you're growing a greener earth, you're against jobs, when in fact that's the antithesis of what really happens out there. The job growth in this country right now, the number one job in this country for growth is wind technician, working with the wind industry to create jobs. So again, he talks about jobs. The president talks about jobs. He talks about growing an economy, all while he's ready to promise jobs to the coal sector, which by its own documentation has produced 8% more coal in the last few decades, all while losing tens of thousands of workers. So automation is kicking in. And if there's a war on coal, it's coming from the reduced price of natural gas. So he's not dealing with the facts here. This is all false promises that he's sharing with some sectors of the energy economy that impact grossly the environmental outcomes.
Paul Tunko, if you take the House, Democrats, in 2018, will that make a huge difference?
Oh, I think it would, because you would have your chairs of committees going with a clean energy agenda, a climate economy for job creation, and certainly, I think, an infrastructure bill that would include water infrastructure, drinking water infrastructure, and wastewater infrastructure, and certainly the ability to address the grid. Because if we produce this given capacity of renewable power, wind, solar, geothermal, you need to upgrade the grid in order to accept all of the generated activity. And we'll invest in research so that the linchpin here, the storage potential for intermittent power, rests with the battery. So research investment, grid investment, water infrastructure investment, I think that would be a given with a Democratic-controlled House.
Okay, so let's pursue that. Go away from energy for a moment and go to health care.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Democrats take it in 2018. What difference will that make?
I think we'll have people saying, look, there were Republicans and Democrats, both of us, both sides, concerned about some of the weaknesses within the Affordable Care Act. But our approach would not be to start from scratch, throw the baby out with the bathwater, but rather sit down and find those areas that need to be tweaked and fix them, and would reach to the Republicans to do that. It's what we've been asking them to do. Leader Pelosi asked Speaker Ryan to just work on some common areas that we know are a concern. Drug prices, pharmaceutical prices, working on that, making certain that, you know, that there are ways to move forward to bend that cost curve. You know, working on some of the areas of efficiency in the system, which we've begun, but there's much more work to be done. Those are the things that I think you would be seeing leading the effort here, rather than this harshness that seems to want to do a tax cut disguised as a health care bill. You know, this, when you look at this health care bill, you knocked tens of millions of people, 23 million, according to CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, off of the healthcare rolls. But basically, you're also affording a $7 million on average tax cut for the 400 richest households in the country, and for the top 1% on average, a $250,000 tax cut. So basically, what this was to get the pool of money to do your tax reform bill rather than really being concerned about improving any of the deficiencies in the Affordable Care Act or making access a greater number. Remember, the president always said, we're going to have more people on. No one's going to lose their health insurance. We're going to have everybody's going to have insurance. We're going to keep Medicaid safe, and it's going to be a better plan. All of that has been failed promises.
Well, it's more than failed promises, a big fat lie. Anyway, Representative Paul Tunko, always great to see my friend who's a Democrat in New York's 20th district, been here since 2009, seems like yesterday. Great to see you, Paul.
Great to be with you always and to share with your listeners.